by the power of your love, that power of your perfection, your righteousness, all these things, Lord. You bless us, you keep us. We ask you, Lord, to help us to see more by the Spirit, by your Spirit living within us. We ask you, Lord, to open our eyes that we might behold you. Lord, we don't want to see the ways of the world. We want to see you. We need to see you. We ask you, Lord, bless us. In your name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've been trying to share some things that are certainly beyond my ability to share. It has to be the Lord Jesus that shines his light. And, you know, that's something that I have known and am knowing and will continue to need to know. Because the Lord, there is nothing in me that is worthy, is worth anything. It is only the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I know you all have heard that, but the Lord makes it more real as we go along. And what I have been trying to share, what I felt that the Lord has put on my heart to share, has to do with this matter of entering into his life, being in his life, living in Christ, the abundant life that he promised us. And I shared most recently that I believe the picture in the Old Testament of the children of Israel entering into the promised land is the Old Testament picture of what is happening, what the Apostle Paul is calling us to in Romans 7 and 8. That the crossing of the Jordan is between verse 25 of chapter 7 and verse 1 of chapter 8. And I think what's important to understand is, how do I say this? This is entirely a matter of faith. The Lord Jesus is speaking to us. He is speaking through the apostle, and we're here. I've been here this past week in a way that I've never been before. And let me just read the last two verses here of chapter 7. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And of course, our problem, my problem, as I've faced this past week, right up to this morning, trying to put words to this, you know, there are things I continue to struggle with the flesh. I could tell you otherwise, but it's not true. What is true is that I know the Lord has demonstrated his love, he has demonstrated his care, his salvation to me, and And so with my mind, as the Apostle Paul, I want to serve him. I want to be what he wants me to be. And I can't. But I can't through my own effort. And so for that to happen, there has to be, the Lord has to stir up faith. He has to cause faith to be within me to believe that 8:1, Romans 8:1 is true. And true, 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 eternally and forever. Same thing. Eternally and completely true. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Lord Jesus died, he came, he lived, and he died the life. He died unto my righteousness. He died unto the sinful nature of men. And he took it all entirely upon himself. And he paid the price for each one of us. He paid it completely. Words cannot explain it. It is, and by faith we take it. The Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul tells us, there is now therefore no condemnation. It is true. And I know, and I have tried, and I have convinced myself in the past that I believe it. And I do, but I don't. Because the flesh keeps stirring up. And that which I figured the Lord had dealt with comes back again. It comes back uglier than it did the first time. And yet, or but God, but God, he says, there is no condemnation. I am not condemned for that. I don't have to accept that. I don't have to live according to my flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He did it by sending the Lord Jesus to pay the price fully and completely. Brothers and sisters, let the Lord reveal this to you. I can't. I mean, I do my best with the words that I can speak, but he has to reveal it. It is a matter of faith. You cannot want it bad enough. You know, there are a lot of things that we do. I'm not going to go there. I don't even, what time is it anyway? Cool. The Old Testament provides the, you know, God is he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I you know, we say that, and I think we believe it, but sometimes we don't embrace all that he wants us to embrace. And I have struggled in the past with believing some of the things in the Old Testament and understanding them. But I am convinced that the children of Israel entering into the promised land is a picture of this struggle and this truth that God has revealed in Jesus Christ and explained by the Apostle Paul. All right. Last week I spoke a lot about the story, about the history that is associated with the crossing of the Jordan. And how does that, what is the Lord showing us there? When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, they had been prepared for that moment by the Lord, just as we are prepared for the moment that He wants us, that we might enter into life. We have been prepared to enter into His life, to be His body, to have His life dwelling within us. They had been prepared for this. And there's a lot of things that had happened, and you know, the struggle that we have right now and the struggle that they have is that they're in the flesh. And what was intended, just as an example, for the tribe of Gad and of Simeon and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, what was intended was that they would go into the promised land and they had a place assigned to them. There was a place waiting for them that was flowing with milk and honey and peace and God's protection. And yet, they failed to embrace it. It was still there for them, even though they didn't cross in. It was still available. God made it clear in the scripture that they could, if they became dissatisfied with what Moses said they could accept rather than go into the promised land, they could enter. We enter in a similar way, crossing by faith. Now, what happened? Israel came to the river. River was in flood. It was, I don't know, I'm going to call it a mile wide. I don't know, maybe it was more, maybe it was less. They came, I said last week, you know, one of God's names is not prudence. He was not acting prudently with the children of Israel. He was acting according to His power. And He was displaying His power to the people all around, but that wasn't important. It was His power being used for His people to enter into a place He had promised them. Just as He has promised us life, we can enter into it by His power. It is not our power. Our power means nothing. The children of Israel, according to the ways of man, did everything wrong. I mean, they were wandering, millions of them, wandering with their herds and their children and their tents and on foot, walking. Millions of them. They covered the landscape. If you got on a high piece of ground, you could see this multitude of people, the children of Israel. They were out there. They were surrounded by enemies, people that hated them, people that were filled with a sinful nature, the Canaanites, those whom God had condemned to death by the hand of His righteous, made righteous children, entering into the land, they came. And they came to the river, and by faith, they put the priests carrying the ark, put their feet in the water, and the water stopped flowing. By faith, they came to the river, trusting that the Lord was going to provide. And, you know, the Lord would provide. The Lord provided for the crossing. The Lord stopped the water from flowing. The priests now were leading. It wasn't a pillar of cloud. It wasn't a pillar of fire. It was the ark, the throne of God, the mercy seat, the throne of Jesus, entered into the land, entered into the water. The water stopped flowing, and the children of God entered in. Now they went forward. With 40,000 of the non-believing tribes leading the way, as though they were going to protect them. They had no way to protect them. There was no way that 40,000 soldiers could protect, let's just say, 2 million. 2 million shepherds, keepers of flocks, crossing the river. They were exposed. They were, I mean, from an earthly general's perspective, the people of Jericho could have come out there and caused havoc among them. But there wasn't even a threat, because God was about his purpose with these people. And he wanted them to be in this place. And he was going to protect them. And he did. And he continues to. This is the same with us. God wants us to enter in. And he is doing things in our hearts and our lives that simply do not make sense. I want to try to do better. I can't. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, trust me. Don't believe that what you do, that your shortcomings, your inability to perform, is something that's going to keep you from me. Come, stand in my presence. I know what you're like. You're not going to surprise me. The children of Israel crossed into the land. They crossed through an impassable way, made passable by the Lord himself. And I gave you the picture, and I don't know that it's true, but I like to think of it. I see it in my heart as God sat on the river. He sat on this mile-wide expanse of water flowing strongly, water that would carry them away even in boats. He sat upon it, and the children crossed through his lap. The thing that they saw on level of earth was the ark. That was God. That was the Lord Jesus' representation to them, God's representation of himself to them. That, and what's on top of the ark? The mercy seat. The mercy seat. God went into the river before them. He opened the river for them. They crossed without having to splash and sputter about. They simply went across. Did it take all day? I don't know. It certainly seems to me it would have taken a long time. They were exposed, and you know, there's the water piling up. It was still coming down from Hermon and the Sea of Galilee above. It was still coming, but it couldn't get to them. God embraced them. God carried them. You know, we have a song on eagle's wings. He's lifting us. It's true. He carried them in there. And they did things that were unusual. You know, why was it important that they set up 12 stones? Oh, well, there are lots of images. There are lots of pictures there. But they took 12 stones as a remembrance out of the riverbed to carry to the camp, to set up so that they would remember and that they would have a remembrance for their children to ask a question about. God, Daddy, what does this mean? It means God loves you. We have stones that we bring up out of the riverbed. That was a place of death for them. I mean, to go in without God, it was a place of death. They would have drowned. They had been washed away. We go into a place of death. Our flesh has to die. And we can trust Him for that. We can trust Him that He is going to take us. He is going to carry us. He's going to provide for us. That no amount of earthly planning, no amount of man's strategy or in the battles, no amount of man's generalship could accomplish this. You know, we're pretty darn smart, we think, anyway. Compared to God, we are nothing, but we think a lot of ourselves. We really do. I mean, as people, I'm talking mankind. God is carrying us into a place that is not a fixed up version of what we have messed up. Our sin is not being made better. Our sinful nature is not being made better. It's being made dead. And as it dies, we are given over. We have entered in. According to Romans, according to Romans, there is no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is fact. The children of Israel entered in and they entered into life. They entered into a place that God had prepared for them, and it was not like any other place. It was not like any other place spiritually. I realized that this is part of our struggle, is we are subject to failure. We are subject to do stuff that we don't want to do. We don't mean to do. We don't intend to do it. And I have just found out that, in fact, I do intend to do it at times. And God still cares for me. He still takes care of me. He still gives me life. He still allows me to enter into His life. I don't have to be condemned. I don't have to suffer death. He has suffered it for me. He condemned sin in the flesh. That sin which it's still with me, causes me to struggle. That sin is condemned by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for me. It is dealt with. No matter how I fail, fall short, it becomes a matter of the Lord Jesus has taken care of it. It is completely different than life as we have known it, as life as we have tried to make it better. We try to follow, we want to follow the law, and it doesn't help us. It only shows us what we need to see. It doesn't make it better. It is the life of Christ in us. And so the children, again, using the picture of the children of Israel crossing into the promised land, they promised, they crossed, they went to the camp at Gilgal, they set up the stones. By faith they did those things. Joshua went back, he set up 12 stones in the middle of the river to be a remembrance that perhaps would never be seen. But there's one that would be seen. And it wasn't that Joshua was Joshua was leading them to Christ. And Jesus is leading us to himself and to God the Father. And our sinfulness doesn't matter anymore. He has taken it. We have life. We have life in him. We can trust in him. When we fall short, we can turn to him, just as the children of Israel did to God as they crossed the river. They did things by faith, and I believe that's what the Lord wants us to see in Romans 7 turning to 8. He wants us to see that he is leading. He is leading, and he wants us to see the purity and the wonder and the life, the spiritual gifts of Galatians. He wants them to be ours. He wants us to trust him for those things. Condemnation is no longer part of it. It is over. Life is there. All we have to do is embrace it. When he says, well, when your heart says no, and you realize you've said no, there is nothing to separate us from the Lord Jesus if we will simply say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to do I want to follow your leading. Where you will take me, I want to go. And if that is not readily apparent to you, if those were words you cannot say, he will still create, like my nephew. You know, he has turned away. He's kind of, well, maybe I'm not. Now I'm kind of worse off than I was. God is still making the way. He's making the way for Bradley. I mean, you know, the VA doesn't have a chance in making him whole. That's part of, you know, we think highly of ourselves. We think we can do these things. You know, we can sort of affect them, but we can't do it. It won't be done. Drug addiction is a terrible, terrible thing. Not to God. He can heal to the uttermost, as though it never happened. Our Lord desires for us to trust and to follow. that he will lead. And even if we don't, he's still doing it. When they entered the promised land, as I said last week, everything they did up to the walls of Jericho falling, they followed. They did what the Lord would have them do. He asked them to do it, and they did it. They celebrated the Passover. They circumcised all those who hadn't been circumcised in the wilderness. They marched around the city. Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host. All that was tremendously full. That was full of spiritual life, of God's life, all of those things. They look kind of silly from the perspective of earth, but they're how the Lord wanted to lead them. And it had spiritual significance. I can't explain that, but it did. And so they followed, and what happened? Well, from our perspective, they marched around the city, and they did the things that God said, and they shouted, and the walls fell down. Well, what they didn't see, because it doesn't ever say this, what they didn't see is what Elisha saw, and he showed to his servant. The host of heaven was surrounding them. The captain of the Lord's host went in before them and knocked those walls down, took them down. They went down before the people. The people shouted in faith, and the walls fell down. And the host of heaven went in and prepared the way completely that they might do what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to get their swords bloody. He wanted them to kill the Canaanites because they were condemned. Just as their own flesh failed, the Canaanites were condemned, and they slaughtered them as God's people. Now, we don't like to think about that. We don't want to think of... But they failed, apparently. The Canaanites failed. We know, and don't even consider that God did anything. They had more opportunities to turn and to hear him than we can think of. I know it's true. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but he waited for 400 years until the it's not sin, not unrighteousness, basically of the Canaanite. That's what he told to Abraham. This is your land, but the Canaanites, the sin of the Canaanites is not complete, basically. They were going to be given every opportunity. Every human is given every opportunity. Just like Nineveh. Nineveh was an evil place. They were evil people. They wanted to kill, maim, and destroy. Jonah hated hated the people of Nineveh, didn't want to go because they were so evil. God gave them every opportunity. And when he gave them opportunity, Nineveh repented. Hallelujah. He's not going to turn his back on that. He's not going to turn his back on us because of sin. It's been condemned. The children went in. The host went before them. The walls fell down. Israel did well. They followed what the Lord had for them. They did the things that the Lord wanted them to do. But what about Achan? You know, God gave them instructions. He said, don't take anything for yourselves. The gold and silver and iron and bronze is to go into the treasury, but everything else is to be destroyed. burned. Jericho was to become, I don't think the word is anathema, but they basically, it was a condemned place. It wasn't to be rebuilt. Achan, what was Achan's sin? He didn't believe. He didn't believe what God said. Why do I say that? Well, he ignored the ban. He took silver. He took gold. He took a garment. I think there were some other things as well. And he kept them for himself. He didn't believe. Now, did God condemn him for that? Well, he had certainly broken God's law. But what did God do? He didn't, when they realized that that's why they'd failed at Ai, God didn't say, you know, you got to get rid of Achan. What did he do? He gave Achan a choice, a chance. He said, someone has broken the ban. Everybody knew that when God spoke it. Everybody realized that God had identified someone who had broken the ban. Achan knew it was him. But he didn't believe. I don't know. What did he not believe that God would punish him? Did he not believe? I don't know. He disdained the offer of the Lord to throw it up. Now, I don't know that, you know, this is Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, right? That's what Achan is the same thing. They didn't believe that God knew what they were doing. And they had an opportunity. Peter said, is this what you did? You know, did you give us all of it? They didn't have to say that. They didn't have to say, yes, I gave you the whole amount. They lied to God. They didn't believe. Achan didn't believe. He not only got one chance, said there's somebody. God says tomorrow we're going to have everybody come forward and we're going to find out who it was. We're going to show you. God knew who it was, of course. Going to show you. And they called the tribe of Judah. Achan, I mean, he was pretty determined in his sin. That's why he died. That's why he had to be stoned. He was determined. They called the tribe. They called the house. They called the family. And they called his name. And never once did he repent. He said, yes, he admitted what he did. But he simply did not. He didn't. He didn't accept the life that God had offered to him. Okay. Children of Israel, they go on and they decide. They follow the pattern, sort of the earthly pattern that they had followed entering into the land with spies. And they listened to what the spies said about Ai. And the spies told them that it's a small place. We don't need to trouble ourselves. We don't need the whole army. We don't need God. That's what they said. It wasn't simply Achan's sin that caused them to run and be turned tail by the people of Ai and kill the only 36 deaths in the entire campaign for the Promised Land happened, it was because the children of Israel were believing in themselves, not in what God was doing. They didn't have a word from God. Everything else before that, they had had a word. They'd had direction. God gave them instruction, very explicit instruction. And they went off and did it on their own. They didn't wait. They didn't say, well, this looks like what we ought to do, but God hasn't told us to do it. He said, well, it's just a little place anyway. Spies say it's we can take, we can do it. Well, of course, Achan had to be revealed and stoned. The people had to repent, and they did. And God spoke to them. He said, now we'll go in. And he told them exactly how to do it. Now, very important thing in the middle there, and I'm sorry if I am keeping us from lunch. Joshua, the leader, the one whom God had said and says in the first chapter of Joshua, only be strong and courageous. Joshua folded like a piece of paper. They were chased by the people of Ai, and he said, God, why did you bring us out here to die in front of the hand of the Canaanites? Couldn't you have made us happy with what was on the other side? Why'd you bring us in here to die? That was the same words that had condemned Israel to 40 years in the wilderness. The same words were spoken, but they were in the promised land. God had already decided. He had established, this is for us today, he has condemned that sin in the flesh. We are able to return to God and be completely, we are restored. We just simply have to turn and accept. He will show us. He will lead us. And what did they do? They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They followed his leading and they destroyed Ai. Each one of these things has a tremendous testimony, a tremendous spiritual testimony before them. They had a witness, a history. This is what God is doing. The people of Canaan saw what they did, and they were afraid. The testimony went out to the entire world. God saw to that. The children did what they were supposed to do. They stumbled, they did their things wrong, but he continued to fulfill his promise, and he has promised us, and he will continue to fulfill his promises to us, that we will become spiritual people, that we will have the gifts of the Spirit. He will see to it that we enter into life and have it abundantly. That's what he wants. That's what he has given us. That's what he has promised. And he will not fail. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we do desire to embrace you. We desire to embrace your purpose for us, your love for us, your care and keeping of us. We ask you, Lord, to walk with us and help us to grasp you with the grasp of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the heavenly visions you have given us. Thank you for the life you have given us. Thank you for the righteousness that you have. That all that you are is given for all of us. We thank you and praise you. Lord, help us to embrace your life and to walk in your ways and to be filled and overflowing with your life. In your precious name we pray. Amen.